Unless you have a high income, finding housing here in New Jersey is challenging at best. While the minimum wage in New Jersey continues to increase, the only way that helps is if a couple is pulling down two jobs, add kids and childcare into that picture, and really doesn't get any more encouraging, does it? Last year, legislation was passed which called for an expansion of affordable housing in every New Jersey community. My first guest today is here to share an update on how this new program is progressing. Believe it or not, it actually is. Well, not completely. We'll find out more from the Director of Communications with the Fair Share Housing Center, Jag Davies. How are you today, Jag?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on here, Chris.
And learn more about the Fair Share Housing Center and their focus on the affordable housing program as it further progresses, fairsharehousing.org. Just as a catch-up for the listener, talk about what that legislation back in last year, Assembly Bill 4, Senate Bill 50, what it set out to do and what it is doing since it's been passed and signed into law.
Yeah, the affordable housing law passed last year has been very successful. Over the vast majority of towns in the state are now complying with the law and creating plans for affordable housing. What it did, the law last year, is essentially streamline the process. It used to be that affordable housing needs in New Jersey were set through the judicial process. And so it was this long, drawn-out process that would go through years of litigation. Now the state has taken more control of the process and made it much easier for towns, where it's, instead of taking years for towns to come up with affordable housing plans, it's all happened on a streamlined schedule this year in a matter of months. And this has, for one thing, it's reduced the amount of costs involved, made it a much more efficient process so that more resources are getting put towards creating housing as opposed to litigation. I think the other thing that's really changed now is just that the housing crisis has got so much worse. All over New Jersey and all over the country, wages, as you mentioned, are just not keeping up with housing costs. Housing costs have just gone up at a wild rate. And you see people all over New Jersey, they grow up, they raise their kids in a town that of their choosing, and then their kids go to college, get a good job, still can't afford to live in the town where they grew up. And so people are increasingly having to drive an hour, 2 hours just to get to their jobs. A lot of towns, the people who do the work in those towns, the teachers, the firefighters, the essential workers, they can't afford to live in those towns, and it's dragging down the overall economy of the state. And so this new affordable housing law is going to create tens of thousands of affordable homes across the state over the next few years. It's not going to do everything to fix all of the state's housing problems, but it's definitely going to put a dent in it. And one of the great things about it is that the funding for this comes from federal subsidies mostly and some state subsidies. So towns are basically getting free access to new homes and new affordable homes for people in their communities, for working people who can't afford to buy a house yet.
And it's important to know, too, that each community, city, town, no matter what the size was, they received a specific number mandate. It wasn't some sort of blanket percentile. Every town was looked at realistically, I guess would be the fair thing to say.
Yeah. It takes the numbers for each town are based on the population in the area, demographic factors, how much land is available. So not every town has the same requirements in terms of affordable housing. I think it's important to emphasize, too, that New Jersey's law gives towns a wide variety of tools to create affordable housing in the way they prefer. It doesn't have to necessarily be high-density housing. One of the most common ways that towns meet their affordable housing needs is through mixed-income housing, say where you have a new building or a new set of townhomes and 20 or 30% of them are set aside for affordable housing. But towns can also do other options, such as they can choose to build 100% affordable housing or supportive housing for seniors or people with disabilities, or repurposing abandoned malls or offices. That is one of the more common ways that new housing is being developed these days. You have a lot of properties around New Jersey that are blighted, offices that aren't being used anymore, old strip malls that are run down and not being used. And so those can be repurposed into housing, and it sort of kills two birds with one stone. It, you know, improves the economy of these towns by, you know, getting rid of these underutilized, blighted areas. And it also creates new housing so that people who work in the towns can actually afford to live there.
And doesn't the program also mandate that the locations used for affordable housing plans have to be livable locations? Like, for example, can't be a warehouse with a single dirt road leading to it, and you're going to turn that land into housing. It has to be developable. You have to be able to develop it with sewage, with everything that you need for a home to basically be a home.
Yeah, that's really important. And who would want to live in the middle of a bunch of warehouses or in an isolated area? So, right. You know, when we work with towns on their affordable housing plans, we really encourage them not to put new housing out on the margins of the town in the middle of nowhere, but to try to integrate it into the community as much as possible and create, you know, vibrant areas. And, you know, more and more people, you know, of all ages, both older people and younger people, they want to live in walkable areas. They want to live in places where they don't have to drive anywhere, where they can live, ideally in some situations, closer to public transportation. Under New Jersey's law, towns get bonus credits for building new housing close to public transportation and redeveloping, you know, vacant areas. So if you choose to do that in your town, you end up having to build less housing. The requirements are essentially lowered. And this is, as, you know, population keeps growing in New Jersey, this is essential for sort of preparing for the future over the coming decades, so that we're not sort of building out, you know, every single square inch of the state, but so that it's smart planning, so that it's integrated into the communities and fits the character of communities.
We're Jack Davies, who's Director of Communications with the Fair Share Housing Center, fairsharehousing.org, their website. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. So with all that being said, and this does develop on a, no pun intended, on a fixed schedule for compliance levels, how are we doing so far with the towns and the cities in New Jersey? What kind of rate of response and compliance are we seeing?
Yeah, what we have seen over the past year is really a sea change. Many more towns are now proactively planning for affordable housing than any time in New Jersey's history. And this process really validates the intent of the new affordable housing law, making it more efficient and ultimately encouraging more municipalities to participate. More than 400 municipalities across New Jersey have adopted plans now. 423 towns have filed fair share housing plans that outline how they plan to add new housing and meet the state's affordable housing requirements over the next decade. There are a small handful of about 16 towns, where we have filed legal challenges against them. Because they are kind of making a mockery of the law, ultimately, and claiming that they don't need to build any new affordable housing, and trying to deny their residents the chance to save affordable homes. And so over the next few months, there'll be a mediation process with judges in the state to resolve those challenges. But it's a huge difference. I mean, when the last round of affordable housing started in 2015, there were over 250 towns that claimed their affordable housing obligation was zero. Now we're at the point where there's only 16 towns that were filing legal challenges against to revoke their immunity to builders' remedies lawsuits. You know, unfortunately, those towns are sort of shooting themselves in the foot, and they're wasting their own local taxpayer dollars on litigation, and they're ultimately going to have to build the affordable housing in the long run. and they're just missing the opportunity to create these new homes in the way that they want to. Towns have a lot of leeway to create affordable housing in the way that they want in their town. They have a lot of different options. The only time they lose control over the process is if they refuse to build any affordable housing. We're hopeful that those challenges will be resolved soon. I think most municipal leaders across the state are realizing it's in their own best interest for their town's economies to allow more housing and to create affordable housing. It helps build the tax base of their towns. It helps promote the local economies. When the people who work in a town can't afford to live there, it hurts the town's economy. When the teachers and firefighters, nurses, all the working people are able to live in the communities where they work, they spend more money in the local businesses. They go out at night at the local restaurants. They're building up the tax base and ultimately making the town more sustainable financially in the long run. So I think most, a vast majority really of municipal leaders across the state are really starting to get that. Unfortunately though, it's because the housing crisis, part of it is just because the housing crisis has got so bad. So many people are seeing it in their everyday lives where not just, lower income people, but even a lot of people who have work a full-time job or work two full-time jobs still can't afford to live in a decent, safe, affordable home. And so I think that's really pushed a lot of residents and community members and ultimately our elected officials to be able to find better solutions to make sure that working people who are supporting New Jersey and making it such a great state can actually afford to raise their kids there and have a decent quality of life.
Just to give you the info on the 16 stubborn towns, they're Belmar, East Greenwich Township, Florham Park, Franklin Lakes. We have a lot of Franklin towns in New Jersey, but it's Franklin Lakes, Hanover Township, Lyndhurst, Madison, Montvale, North Arlington, Park Ridge, Rockaway, Roxbury, Saddle River, Summit City, Toms River, which is the biggest of the 16, and West Windsor. Roxbury is a standout. I was looking at what their response to all this is. Their assigned number of affordable housing units is 499. They came back with the number of 12.5. How do you build half a house? How do you build half a house?
Yeah. Towns are sort of twisting themselves in circles to try and come up with ways not to build any affordable housing. Toms River is one of the most egregious cases. They are essentially claiming that affordable homes they've already built in the past should be counted towards their future. They're essentially trying to double count affordable homes. They can't have it both ways. On the one hand, they're telling courts that the new law requires them to do too much. But then at the same time, they're also saying that the law doesn't really require them to build any affordable homes. But we're confident that, the process under the state law is working as it should be, and that these challenges will be resolved over the next few months in the courts. And one way or another, these affordable homes are going to get built over the next few years in New Jersey. And I think the important thing is making sure it's done the right way. I mean, so that towns are putting affordable housing in the right areas and making sure that people who need to be able to access affordable housing actually have the resources to be able to access it. The vast majority of towns, 423 of them are doing the right thing. So we're confident that this process is working as it should be.
I know there's some politicians, specifically in the Northwest region of the state, that are basically saying because of the Highlands Act, the Housing Act is illegal, and for you individuals, you really need to rethink your priorities, because when you look at affordable housing, It's not just beneficial for the people who will be able to be a part of that housing. It's beneficial for the communities. We certainly know that education systems are primarily financed through property taxes. So the more housing in any one community, the more property tax revenue received, the better school systems mm-hmm. are going to be developed in certainly a lot of areas. Toms River, by the way, being one of them that desperately needs a stronger school system. That's the benefits of housing are just immeasurable and can't be compared to the NIMBY philosophy that too many people have about it. Find out the facts at the website for the Fair Share Housing Center, fairsharehousing.org. He is their director of communications, Jag Davies. Jag, thanks so much for the update on this, and it's great to see this moving forward at the size and the volume that it is. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me. Take care.